and you're listening to Sportsline Radio, high school football sports show, the Tuesday edition on this September 27th, 2022. I'm Eddie Fury. With me is my co-host, Mike Gallagher of the San Lake County News. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back. The second day of the show is always a lot of fun. We really get to dive in on the eight-player stuff. We have a lot of interesting storylines with the eight-player teams this year. A lot of big games coming up this week.
Yeah.
And, of course, we love talking BWAC, too.
Yeah, we got BWAC High School eight-player football yesterday. We talked about the Greater Thumb Conference. I want to thank Jonathan Bisher, who will be back. Talk about Armada and Almont tonight. And also want to thank Paul Adams of the Huron County View. He'll be back to talk about high school eight-player North Huron game and a couple teams in that Stripes division. There, I remembered. Big game between Peck and North Huron this week also. Both teams in the running. Peck just has to win and move on, and they'll have New Haven Merritt later on. They just got to take care of business to win that title. All right, let's go through the scores. Week 5, we recap, and we look ahead to Week 6 also. We'll get our commentary at the end also. Well, let's start with eight-player football. It was North Huron over Ashley, 38-22 on Thursday. Friday, Auburn Hills Oakland Christian defeats Deckerville, 52-44. Big win there for Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Kind of a little bit of a setback for Deckerville to take on Kingston this week.
Yeah, you know, maybe a setback for Deckerville, but they still control their own destiny, you know. They need to get a win against Kingston, and then that'll put everything at an even playing field. Kingston's beaten Oakland Christian, and then if Deckerville beats Kingston, you know, that puts everybody right at the same spot again. Throw in Mayville as well.
Yeah.
Mayville has probably the toughest schedule remaining because they still have Deckerville and Kingston. But Deckerville's not out of this thing by any means. And they get to host Kingston. They've been notoriously good against Kingston. So I'm looking forward to that one.
All right, and the Peck Pirates, hey, from your native land there, the Peck Pirates defeat the Bay City All Saints 46-18. Now they have North Huron this week. It's in their destinies. It's in their hands. It's in their ships. All they got to do is sail through North Huron Warriors, but the Warriors are the Warriors. They got a big win also themselves. Win over Ashley. They'll have New Haven Merritt later. Peck does also. So does North Huron. Both teams just got to win out here. Or one of them's got to win this week.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we
know that North Huron's already lost to All Saints. Peck just beat the All Saints this past week.
Yeah.
Now they got to beat North Huron to really, you know, keep a hold on. But North Huron can get right back in it if they beat Peck and get a little bit of help.
Yeah. So right now Peck is 4-0. North Huron's 3-1, and New Haven Merritt's 3-1.
Yeah.
If Peck beats North Huron, that essentially puts the Warriors out of the race. Now if North Huron picks up a win, we got Peck, New Haven Merritt, and North Huron all battling for that top spot. But, you know, the past couple weeks, we were both there for Peck Brown City.
Yeah.
And it was a tough way to start the season for Peck. We've learned that Brown City is a very good team. And, you know, since then, Peck's gone on the road. They've played Caseville, Ashley, Akron Fairgrove, and Bay City All Saints last week. And they've just taken care of business, you know. They've set themselves up to be in a position where, okay, you got North Huron this week, you got New Haven Merritt next week. If you continue to take care of business, you can wrap up this Stripes title nice and tidy.
Yeah.
Again, we haven't seen Peck since week one. I'm looking forward to catching them maybe this week, definitely next week, as New Haven Merritt's going to be that Saturday homecoming game, more that traditional game.
Love it.
So fun time to be a Pirates fan.
That'd be a very important game along with homecoming, too. So,
yeah.
So ever since only scoring 12 points against Brown City in week one, they scored over 40-plus points. The next two games, 50-plus points against Caseville, Akron Fairgrove, 42 points against Ashley, and this past week, 46 points against the All Saints. Can they rack up another 40-plus points against North Huron? We will have to wait and see after week six this week. Other scores in high school eight-player football, New Haven Merritt, look out for them. They defeated Carson for Port Sand Lake at homecoming, 58-14. We'll talk about that later. Akron Fairgrove, sound the horn. Over the Caseville Eagles, 58-20. Mayville Wildcats, sound the song. Go the horn. Mayville Wildcats defeating K-Pec. Like I said, the Wildcats, the Vikings, the Horn, the song, Goldie Hawn. She's happy. Woody Harrelson. Wesley Snipes is happy also. And we also have Burton Atherton over Genesee, 62-14. Kingston didn't play. They got the forfeit win over Flint International. Independent eight-player football. Brown City met their match, losing to one of the best teams in high school eight-player football, Martin, 49 to Ashalakin, 6 points.
Yeah, that's a tough one for Brown City. But we knew going into this one that Martin was a very good team. They're ranked number one in the state. They were coming off of a huge win. So, this one was obviously on the road, so we didn't have eyes on it. But at the end of the day, I'm not too worried about it. I think Brown City is going to be just fine. Now, you are going to have to get back to work because it doesn't get any easier after this. You got Britton Deerfield on the road this week, so you're going to have to get right back at it. And I think they'll do that.
I think they'll learn from this game, too, the loss to Martin. So I hope.
Yeah.
All right, Blue Water Area Conference, here we go. Armada gets the big win over Almont. Back-to-back losses for Almont, but against two good teams. They lost to North Branch, and now they lose at Armada 14-10. All the scoring was in the first half. We'll talk to Jonathan Mischer about this game later. North Branch, no problem over Hamtramck, 74-6. Richmond defeats and shuts out Emily City, 20-0. And we have the Crosby Lexington Pioneers getting the win in overtime over the Yale Bulldogs, 32-29. The bark, the bite was there, but just not enough against Crosby Lexington Pioneers, who were able to just have enough power in the wheel and in the wagons to pull away.
Yeah, that's a classic rivalry game. We kind of touched on it last week. I think going into the game, we all thought that Crosby Lex were pretty heavy favorites. But you never know in a rivalry game, and that's something we talked about last week. Yale threw everything at them. Luckily for the Pioneers, they had just enough to hang on and remain undefeated.
All right, and that's where we're at right there, folks. When we come back, we'll talk about the Blue Water Area Conference and high school A player football here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show in our 5 o'clock hour. We got the 6 o'clock hour also, and we could go in overtime just like Crosby Lex and Yale possibly and interrupt the Jesse Kelly show possibly.
Yeah, apologies to Jesse Kelly in advance this week.
We'll be right back here on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM.
Mark McGarry here from Moore Motor Sales in Carroll. If you are planning a new car or truck purchase, or you have a current lease expiring, it's time to start planning ahead. Inventory shortages and extended order delivery times are expected to continue. Whether you want to buy or lease, turn your car in or trade it in, we can help you make the best decision to capitalize on the current market conditions. Ford Motor Company is offering an order incentive of $1,000 on many vehicle lines over and above any other rebate. Place your custom order. That's Moore Motor Sales just west of Caro on M81. Visit us on the web at themooreautogroup.com and come see why for 57 years your friends and neighbors have been driving to Caro.
What does better internet mean to you? Is it faster speeds, an affordable price, overall reliability, or quality customer service?
There's a reason Agri Valley Services is the better choice for internet. And it's because we stand behind our service. We have faster speeds than ever before, and our prices are affordable with no gimmicks or hidden fees. We pride ourselves on our reliability, and our friendly customer service team is there to help when needed.
For the past 25 years, Agri Valley Services has simply done it better. We treat our customers like neighbors because we're local. Plus, our selection of plans are designed to meet the demands of today's internet users. Whether you're a family or a business, located in town or out in the country.
So what are you waiting for? Make the switch to Agri Valley Services and get better internet. Call the sales team today at 888-282-4932 or go to agrivalleyservices.com.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Fury, along with Sandlack County News sports writer, editor Mike Gallagher. Pick up the publication tomorrow, Wednesday, on newsstands and online subscription. And Mike, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to talking about this game. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to unwrap here. But at the end of the day, it's a Crosby Lex win. Move on to 5-0 and get ready for Almont homecoming week.
Boy, they had problems against the Yale Bulldogs. They fought a 2-3, but they gave the Crosby Lexington Pioneers a battle. It was tied after one quarter, 12-12. Then Crosby took the lead in the second at the half, 19-12. I was looking at Twitter. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And then 7 points to tie it back up for the Yale Bulldogs, making it 19-all. Fourth quarter, each team scored and got the extra point, 7 points apiece, and then it ended up going into overtime. Yale had to be relegated to go for a field goal with 3 points, while Crosby Lexington got the game winner with a touchdown, a one-yarder by Gavin Espinosa. According to the Yale Bulldog stats, they had 274 total yards, 260 yards passing, 14 rushing yards also. And they scored the first two touchdowns in this game. They had a pretty good lead before Croswell struck back with two more touchdowns themselves. Trevor Soule, 34-yard TD pass from Gavin Espinosa. And again, Trevor Soule and Gavin Espinosa have been really pairing up really well here since I saw them against Armada. 21-yard TD pass to tie it up 12-12 at that point. Another touchdown pass to Trevor Soule from Gavin Espinosa. And like I said, in the third quarter, a touchdown by Yale. And he touched him by John Herman on the ground with a one-yarder to make it 26-19. But then a four-yard run by the Yale Bulldogs tying it up 26-26 to take it into overtime. And it was a field goal by Yale. But Gavin Espinosa, lean on this guy, the quarterback. He can pass, he can run, and he scored that touchdown for the winning one.
Yeah, and you talked about Gavin Espinosa and Trevor Soule. You know, you get down 12-0, and, you know, that's a situation where it's not necessarily make or break at that point in the game. It's still really early, but it is important how you respond there. And Croslex responds with 19 unanswered points, puts them back in the lead going into the second half. And that's on, you know, three touchdown passes from Espinosa to Soule. And talking to Coach LeGros after the game, he said that's a Sage Slanik type performance from Trevor Soule. And for those of you who don't remember, Sage Slanik was the big receiver for Croslex last year. And Trevor Soule, senior this year, he's really stepped up into the role, especially with the injury to Drew Hosterman. Soule, he's been great these past couple weeks. And, you know, he almost had a fourth touchdown in overtime. It must have been inches away from the end zone. They spotted him, you know, right on the goal line, you know, giving Espinosa the chance to punch it in there. But really, just a lot going on in this game. And, you know, Yale, they pulled out all the stops.
And you were at this game, so.
So, yeah. I was there for the second half.
Yes.
I was hanging out in Carsonville for the first half of their game. Headed over to Yale for the second half.
It's quite a hike.
It was quite a hike. Yeah. Thankfully, CPS started their game about 10 minutes early, and then Croslex Yale, you know, there's a lot of passing, yeah. So a lot of clock stoppage. But, you know, Yale going with the trick plays. They scored a couple touchdowns on trick plays, double passes to the receiver. And you could tell they really wanted this one.
They were pulling out all the stops, obviously.
Right, yeah.
They were going deep into the playbook.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Grundman over there at Yale, he's trying to build a program over there. Obviously, the former Croslex coach and quarterback. But it wasn't just the gimmick plays. You know, Yale made plays when they needed to. You mentioned 14 rushing yards. That's not anything all that impressive, but
yeah,
they made plays in the passing game when they needed to. Just at the end of the day, I think Croslex was just the more talented team, especially once you get into that overtime situation. I think, for high school overtime, you get four tries from the 10-yard line to score, and I think at that point, you know, Croslex is just a better team. Once they held Yale to a field goal, I think Croslex was feeling pretty good about their chances. But just a great job by the Bulldogs, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this, even though it was a loss, I'm looking forward to seeing how this can build for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it's the Garrett Grudman off and seeing a lot of passing. Not so in years past of old Yale Bulldog teams, that's for sure. So I'm sure they're having fun with the offense. Did it look like the team was having fun with this type of offense?
I would say so. The you know, the atmosphere was fantastic at the game on both sides. But yeah, it's quite a bit different from what they had been running in the past.
Yeah.
So you knew it was going to take them a little while to get things figured out. But you know, we saw last week with the big win over Richmond, they did a lot of nice things offensively, and you know, we're seeing this team start trending in the right direction.
And this is a rivalry we missed when it was competitive, and this game was just a perfectly competitive game here.
Absolutely.
18-34 passing for Gavin Espinosa in the Croswell passing offense. 312 yards, three touchdowns with an interception. Rushing-wise, 137 yards, 34 carries also. Two touchdowns on the ground against the Yale Bulldogs. At least Croswell wants to do this, keeping it balanced, keeping the defense very honest on the field to keep them back on their feet.
Yeah, well, we saw it in the first couple of weeks when Belly Grappi was still healthy. Unfortunately, he's going to be sidelined for a little while after an injury in the Armada game. But it was just...
He didn't play in this game, right?
He did not. No, yeah. Nope. He was out. But it was a nice, it was a great offense, and it was just so balanced because you could go to that running game, and then you could also count on Espinoza for, you know, 2, 3, 4 touchdown passes. And what was nice to see is, you know, Kroslex is going to continue to try and do that. And we saw John Herman. He emerged as, you know, a go-to player, a sophomore, 20 carries, almost 100 yards, two
94
catches.
94 yards and a touchdown.
94 yeah. yards yeah. and a touchdown, a key touchdown, push him ahead in the second half. So it's for Kroslex right now, they're with the injuries that they've suffered, they need other players to step up. And so far, they've done that. You know, in the Armada game, it was Trevor Soule. We saw that again Friday with Trevor Soule.
10 receptions, 156 yards, 3 touchdown receptions.
And, you know, another player, he came up from the JV, Cody Mativier. 4 catches, 71 yards from the tight end position. So for Kroslex right now, you know, as long as you keep getting wins, as long as you start, you know, getting these guys into these positions, I think they're going to be fine. Obviously, it is unfortunate that they don't have Grappi and Hosterman, but it has been nice to see these other players step up and emerge as key pieces.
John Herman, a sophomore, like I said, 94 yards rushing, 50 yards with 2 receptions, also over 100 plus yards overall, all-purpose yards there. So great job of him. But Gavin Espinoza, rushing wise, he had 42 yards, 13 carries, one of those carries the winning touchdown, and he had 1 touchdown for that win also.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, this kid, he's a junior, obviously back next year if he chooses to play. He's playing like he's been playing for
So actually last year, he was the backup quarterback last year, as a sophomore, didn't get a ton of playing time at the quarterback position. You know, you got Jake Townsend ahead of you, but, he played on the defensive side of the ball. He was a starter. He was the key player in the North Branch win. And this year he stepped into that quarterback role, and the thing about him is that he continues to do it on both sides of the ball. He's playing quarterback, and then he's also playing defensively, and he's making a difference over there as well.
All right. They're going to need all that firepower again, because if they had the Yale Bulldogs, you know who's coming in hard and strong after a loss to the Armada Tigers, 14-10. It'll be the Almont Raiders. They had 316 total yards, 75 yards passing, 241 yards rushing, but that still was not enough against the Armada Tigers, who win 14-10. And, you know, Almont Raiders are coming in angry. They lost to North Branch. They just lost to Armada, a team that Croswell played. Common opponents there. I mean, if you're missing one of your top leading rushers, one of your top other, you know, receivers. But still, like John Herman, Trevor Soule stepping up also, who's had a great rapport with Gavin Espinoza. This is a lot for the Almont Raiders to handle, but if you're going to pull off an upset, why not do it this week at Croswell Lexington's homecoming, too?
Yeah, well, and if you're Almont, with 2 losses in the BWAC now, that essentially, you know, pushes you out of the title race. So they'll be looking to play spoiler. But I think the biggest thing with Croslex going forward, after the game, you know, it was, I don't want to say a weird vibe, but, you know, these coaches and these players were a little bit disappointed with their performance, you know. And, you know, talking to Coach LeGros, he said, you know, they might have came into the game thinking, hey, we got this one. You know, we don't need to show up. But after the game, you know, Coach LeGros took accountability. Coach Sheridan, the defensive coordinator, he took accountability. And then, you know, it was Joey Ramsey, Benny Mendoza, and Trevor Soule. All 3 of those guys talked to the team after the coaches. And it was, hey, we need to refocus. We need to get back to work. And I think they're going to be a much better team going forward because of the near upset by Yale.
Yeah, what a tough gauntlet for the Almont Raiders. They had North Branch, Armada last week, back-to-back losses, and now Croswell Lexington. kind of playing for the playoff spot lives right now. They can pull off. They need to beat Croswell Lexington, basically, I think. And then Goodrich also. I mean, they'll have Richmond and Yale. We got to take care of business there. You can't look past Yale now.
No,
the Elmont Raiders.
No,
so
no.
What a tough season for the Elmont Raiders, because the Goodrich Martians are right now 4-1, and that's in week 9 for Elmont.
Yeah, that'll be a tough one. Hopefully their playoff chances don't ride on winning that one. Because that's going to be a tough one week 9.
We'll talk about that Armada-Elmont game with Jonathan Mischer coming up also here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We'll hit it with more, a little bit of more of the Blue Water Conference. We got North Branch to mention, and then we'll dive into the high school A player football scene. We'll be right back here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Welcome back to the Sportsline High School Football Sports Show on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. We're talking about the Blue Water Area Conference. And first, let's get things out of the way and talk about this big Armada Tiger team getting the win over Elmont Raiders. Elmont on their home field here. Jonathan Bishop, your first visit to Armada, got to cover a really good Blue Water Area Conference team. And what a big win for Armada over Elmont.
Oh, a big win. It was the first time they beat them, I think, 16, 17 years, something like that.
Yeah, I do believe. Yeah, that's been quite a while. So a long time. And we've seen Armada in the past play against Martlet at the end of the season also. A really quick question here. Did Bryce Furman play for Elmont? Was he able to play?
No, he did not. He did not suit up. He was in street clothes Friday night.
All right. So did you an inkling injury or how long he's out
that
for?
I do not know, but you could definitely tell his presence was lost on the field. Joka filled in nicely for him in fullback position for Elmont, but it just wasn't the same without Bryce Furman back there.
All right. So let's talk about this game. 14-10 win. Kind of like a must-win situation for both teams. Armada now 3-1. Their lone loss was to the Crosby Lexington Pioneers. We covered that in 92.5 WBGV. And now Elmont falls two games behind. They did take on another good team. They did have a type of a gauntlet here, but a little bit of a setback here for Elmont. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But let's talk about Armada. 185 total yards, 117 yards rushing, 68 yards passing. Not much offense in this game for Armada Tigers. Can you tell me why?
Really, both the second half was an absolute defensive battle. There was nothing going there in the second half. It was pretty much get the ball to near midfield and then punt it away. But these two running teams with Armada and Elmont just made the clock run nonstop. So possessions were limited for both teams. That's why there wasn't a whole lot of offense really there. You know, kind of like what we talked about with Ubley and Cass City on Monday, what they feature Friday, how possessions are going to be limited because it's both running teams. That's what Elmont and Armada was.
So Armada, it was actually Elmont scoring first with a field goal, 3-0. There's that special teams. And in the second quarter, a touchdown by Armada, making it 6-3. The kick was no good for the extra point. Matt Mizo took back the lead for the Elmont Raiders. That was in the second quarter, making it 10-6. And then it was 14-10 in the second quarter, 8-yard TD run for the Armada Tigers. No scoring in the second half?
No scoring in the second half.
That's crazy.
Who would have thought that? I mean, both teams had an opportunity to put the ball in the end zone, especially with Elmont having the ball right down there at the end. But Armada's defense, man, those two linebackers they got, and I believe it was Vinny Fodale, and I forget the other one's name. Boy, could they fly sideline to sideline. Those might be the two best linebackers in the Blue Water Area Conference. Those kids, gap to gap, they cover the whole field.
Let's talk about the rushing offense. Again, 29 carries against Elmont, 126 yards rushing, two touchdowns on the ground. And, got to give credit. How much time-consuming also was this? Because they were very time-consuming against the Crosby Lexington Pioneers also. Was it more time-consuming again for the Armada Tigers on the field?
Oh, absolutely. They were in no hurry to run a play. They took their time, and like a lot of coaches preach in high school football, your best defense is your offense. If the other team doesn't have the ball, they can't score. And that's really what helped Armada out. Their offense was on the field so much that Elmont could not score. Because Elmont, if you look at the stats, it looked like Elmont physically dominated that game. They ran for more yards. They threw for more yards. They ran like quite a few more plays than Armada, but Armada's offense was just on the field just taking up time that Elmont couldn't get the ball to score.
So for Armada, like you said, Foldale doing a good job there as he's number eight. We'll be probably calling his name when they meet up against a North Branch. This puts them in pretty good position. They'll have that game against North Branch coming up, but not yet. They got to take care of business this week. This week, they will have Wyoming Wolves they're playing in because they don't have a game against Algonac, who canceled the season. So Armada did pick up a game at least. Now Elmont themselves are up against Crosby Lexington. Very important game for Elmont going up against a Crosby Lexington team despite the overtime win over Yale. Still a good team to contend with here.
Yeah, a very good team to contend with. Elmont, any given night, they can beat a team. You know, 2 weeks ago we watched them against North Branch. They hung right in there punch for punch with the Broncos, who are considered one of the best teams in the BWAC. Up there with Cross Lex, you know, Elmont, if they go on these time-consuming drives like we talked about Armada and really limit the possessions of the other teams, they can maybe pull off an upset here in the BWAC.
All right. So, Jonathan Bisher, a big BWAC game. That was a long travel for you all the way from the past the Harbor Beach area. You drove all the way to Armada. You and Mikey Smith did that, game together.
Yeah, it was an absolute blast. I will definitely go back there in the future, especially if they're going to give us a game like they did Friday night. That was electric.
All right, so Armada, in a couple weeks after this game against Wyoming Wolves, they'll have North Branch, so that'd be an interesting game also. We just might have to go cover that one ourselves also. So, all right, mm-hmm. Jonathan Bisher, I'm going to let you go. I know you're a busy guy. We've got bowling coming up also around 7 o'clock after the show also. I want to thank you for joining us.
Yep. See you then.
And we'll be back after our 6 o'clock news for more Blue Water Area Conference Talk and High School A Player Football on the Sportsline High School Football Radio Sports Show.
From Graff, Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Finally, we're starting to see new vehicles hit the lot on a regular basis.
Yep, perfect time for truck season.
You mean truck month?
Nope, truck season.
Truck month.
Truck season.
Truck month.
Take a look at the program.
Okay, truck season it is.
And guess what, Sam?
We got trucks.
Yes, sir, we've got trucks. We have three Chevy Silverados with the Trail Boss package and your choice of the 2.7-liter turbo, a 5.3-liter, or the very popular 3-liter Duramax diesel. We've also got a well-equipped LT, all here and ready for delivery.
And with up to $2,750 in incentive cash, plus an additional $1,000 in accessory cash, it's a great time to get your new truck.
And we have more than just trucks.
We also have a Z71 Suburban, LS Tahoe, and Buick SUVs.
And if you're looking for a Chevy Equinox, we'll have that too.
Truck season is here at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Stop in before they're all gone.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I'm Eddie Feary and Mike Gallagher of the Santa County News. And with us is Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser joining us. Scotty, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for joining us. Once again, it wouldn't be the same without Scotty B being on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. Right, Mike?
Yeah, Scotty B, a year older, too. A little more wiser, maybe.
That's right. 35-plus years in a couple days now. How did you celebrate there, Scotty?
I went and called a game. That was my excitement, and then I got to drive home, and that was about it.
So 35 is what I considered middle age, because the new old is 51 now, since I'm 51, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm hitting that middle age slump where I'm going to have to go buy like a sports car now. So
okay. We're continuing our Blue Water Area Conference talk. I'll go through this Richmond game. Connor Bergeon ran for 135 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 18 carries as the Richmond Blue Devils took down the Emily City Spartans. Richmond's offense finished with 220 rushing yards. Blue Devils quarterback Anthony Bonetti was 7-14 with 84 yards and had one interception. Trey Graham, 4 receptions for 49 yards. Emily City quarterback Brady Vanderploeg led the way offensively for the Spartans. He finished 6 of 11 for 54 yards and ran for 50 yards in 16 attempts despite the loss for the Emily City Spartans. So for Richmond Blue Devils, currently their record is 3-2. They'll have North Branch this week. Oh, boy. Then Elmont, Armada. Talk about gauntlets. Richmond Blue Devils will have that gauntlet. They'll have Clintondale at the end of the season. They're 1-4 right now when they play them in Week 9. So that's the Richmond Blue Devils, 3-2. But, man, they're going to take on Elmont, Armada. But first, they got to take on the North Branch Broncos. And North Branch took care of business themselves. They played the ever-tough team of the Hamtramck team, who's been filling in for games here, Scotty. But, North Branch played the game, and they won and took care of business.
Yeah. You know, when we first got the score, the first score we got from that was 8-6. And Chris goes, "Are you sure that's right?" And I was like, "Well, I'll have to go double check." But then I found out that North Branch actually fumbled the ball on the opening kickoff, and Hamtramck jumped on it, and then they were able to score like a play or two later. And that was the only score they gave or they allowed. North Branch scored 54 points in the first. They scored 6 in the second, 8 in the third, and then 6 more in the fourth quarter to finish it out 74-6. So, they took care of business. And, you know, we kind of talk about this every single week. Who's rushing the ball? Well, guess what? There's a different name at the top of the list. Trey Hebbard, never heard of this young man, but he had 4 attempts for 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. Lucas Chapman had a touchdown. Aiden Swash had 3 more. Will Damasca had 2. And Martin Mersino, who was a defensive, he had actually an interception against Elmont. He had a touchdown in the game rushing. So you just never know who's going to get their hands on the ball, as they did have 9 different guys run the ball in that game. Impressive. Aiden Swash, Griffin Mayberry. So a little bit of everybody got some love in that game. And it was just another rolling by the North Branch Broncos.
Yeah, at least North Branch took it easy after the second quarter into the third and fourth against this Hamtramck team. 54 points. That's just ridiculous in the first quarter alone.
Yeah, I mean, that. Yeah, you know, looking at that number, you know, that's more than some teams score all year in a game. I mean, that's it's just amazing this offense is rolling. You know, it is against Hamtramck, which I do have to give a shout-out to Hamtramck. I was staying for the longest time. They hadn't won since 2018. They actually won the week before. So they got their first win in over 3 years.
They're playing against tough teams.
I know. So they went out there and they got a win against a team that hadn't won since like 2014. So, but regardless, so they were coming into this game, coming off a win, feeling hot. They got the 6 points right away. And, North Branch was able to overcome that fumble, and their offensive yards, 383 to Hamtramck's 130. North Branch, they had, let me see here, where am I at? They had 354 yards of rushing, just 29 of passing. So they're feeding all those mouths in the backfield and doing it well.
So this week, and by the way, defensively, they're the best team, only allowing 27 points in the Blue Water Area Conference. The second best is Croswell Lexington, allowing 55 points at this point. Those two teams will meet down the road there, so we're all anticipating that big game come October 14th. But North Branch has to take business. They have to take care of Richmond. They'll have a tough game against Armada, I think, because Armada's been a really crux in North Branch's rear end there for quite some time. And they'll have Armada on October 7th, and then they'll have Croswell Lexington on October 14th. So after this game against Richmond, which they should be able to, you know, win, but you never know. Destiny's in their hands here, but they do have some tough games coming up here. Some teams have a worse gauntlet than North Branch. It seems like North Branch is able to have a break every other couple game here.
Yeah, obviously we talked about the BWAC, and I know Mike had brought up the other day that North Branch, we were talking about the rest of their schedule on here, and, you know, they get Richmond, Armada coming up, and they close things out with Croswell, Lexington, and Three Rivers. Now, Croswell, Lex, obviously going to be a tough opponent, always a rivalry game. I don't care what the score was against Yale. It's going to be another good rivalry game between those two squads. And then they go up against a squad in Three Rivers it's 3-2 right now, but I don't know a ton about the teams they have played, so I can't really say. Plus, it's going to be a neutral site. They're not going to be at home. It is a home game for North Branch, but they will be at a neutral site. They'll be playing where are they going to be playing? I can't remember the name of the town now. I'll have to think of it. But either way, it is going to be it's going to be an interesting run to the end of the season for North Branch here.
All right, that's the North Branch Broncos. We'll anticipate that big matchup after this game against Richmond. Then they'll have Armada and, of course, a showdown with that team and Croswell Lexington in the next couple weeks. All right, that's Scott.
That game is going to be at Okemos, by the way.
Which game?
Okemos. Okemos, North Branch, Three Rivers is going to be playing in Okemos. I couldn't remember the name of it, but that's where they're going to be playing.
There you go. You know your maps.
Try to.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back more as we dive into high school eight-player football. I know we're going to go in overtime with this discussion. Coming your way here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show, our Tuesday edition. And now we get into the high school A-player football game. And this was a game on Thumbtail Getter Channel 2. Phil Nickel and Dave Frederick covering this game. And Auburn Hills Oakland Christian came in and defeated the Decaville Eagles. A high-scoring affair, swinging back and forth. But Oakland Christian came away with a big win.
Yeah, this is a huge win for Oakland Christian. They needed this one to be in the conversation for the Stars title. They still need some help, ironically, from Decaville this week. But honestly, a great showing by Decaville. And, you know, I picked Decaville in Paul's picks for the Huron County View. And the reason I picked Decaville is because they're a very physical team and they're really good at what they do. And, you know, when you're playing a team like Oakland Christian that hasn't played Decaville, I think maybe just once last year, or no, they didn't even play last year. So I think this might have been the first matchup between the two. And when it's the first time playing Decaville, it can be it can take you a little while to, you know, figure things out. It can take a while to try and stop their run game. And, you know, that's exactly what Decaville did. They rushed the ball 47 times for 371 yards, threw in 60 passing yards. That's basically what you come to expect from Decaville. And unfortunately, it was just one big quarter because at the half it was tied 16-16. In the fourth quarter, both teams scored once. But in the third quarter, Oakland Christian outscored Decaville 30-20, and that ended up being the difference.
Huge offensive yards here for Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. 236 total yards rushing. 24 of those carries was by Lucas Cobb. 232 rushing yards, two touchdowns also. Passing wise, 269 yards passing, 11 to 20 for Jordan Johnson, the senior. And he threw three touchdown passes in this game also. Just incredible offense here. Stark difference here, Scotty, when they played against Kingston, and Kingston beat Auburn Hills Oakland Christian.
Yeah, I was telling Mike about this Cobb kid. He is a big dude. And, you know, I just finally saw the stats. I was just reading them here, and then I heard you say them. You know, 232 yards rushing doesn't surprise me because, I think that was one thing that I was surprised when I saw them play against Kingston is they went away from the run game with him because he was getting some good chunks of yards, and according to Max Prepster, he averaged almost 10 yards a carry. That's pretty remarkable. So he's such a big dude, it's hard to tackle him. You need a big dude to tackle him or a couple guys to tackle him, but he's a big guy. Mike, were you over there at all or no?
I did not make it over to that one, no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, well, he's a big guy, he's a really good running back as well, but, you know, airing it out, too, 269 yards, that's pretty impressive as well. And then three touchdowns through the air. They tried a lot of passes against Kingston, overshot them. They just could not connect, so maybe they've been working on it. And if they've gotten better at the passing game, they could definitely be a dangerous team, and especially if a team like Kingston has to face them again, you know, in the postseason, it definitely could be scary to see a rematch between those two squads. But, you know, Oakland Christian looking good against this Decaville squad that, as Mike said, you know, going into that first time playing them, it could be very intimidating walking onto that field.
Yeah, Jordan Johnson and their meeting against Kingston only had 60 yards passing, 4 of 19, had an interception, did throw for a touchdown pass, two touchdowns for Colin Cobb, a freshman, on two carries and 2 yards. So it was probably right there on the line, just 105 yards rushing for Lucas Cobb. So obviously they solved some things since then in that loss to Kingston earlier where they lost 46-28. Let's talk about what the Decaville Eagles, they put up 44 points here, Mike. But they stumbled against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Just more plays by Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, able to score more, and just that's what you had to do here. Back and forth affair.
Yeah, I think it's encouraging to see Deckerville put up 44 points because you're going to have to be able to score points against Kingston. You're not going to be able to shut down Kingston's offense. You can hope to maybe slow it down, but realistically, you're going to have to try and keep up. And this 44 points against a tough Oakland Christian team, that's definitely encouraging. But I think the thing that stands out the most about this game, and we kind of talked about this kid after the Toledo Christian game, you know, we were that was a tough loss for Deckerville, and we were talking about some of the, you know, little victories that we saw from Deckerville, and one of those was Dylan Ball. He got a bulk of the carries in the second half. He ended up with 56 yards on 15 carries. And then the next week against Genesee, 13 carries, 92 yards. So, you know, going into this game, he had 36 carries, 228 yards, and two touchdowns. Just four carries against Ashley and K-Pack. Now, against Oakland Christian, Dylan Ball, 33 carries, 280 yards, and four touchdowns. And I think Deckerville has found their lead back. Obviously, Peter Lapp, still a great game, 11 carries, 77 yards. But Dylan Ball is just a physical runner, and Deckerville's going to be leaning on this kid. And when you can give somebody the ball 33 times, that's a tough night of running, and that's what Deckerville's going to have to go to against Kingston. Maybe try and control some of the clock, keep the ball out of Kingston's hands. But that's what I'm looking forward to seeing the most is Dylan Ball getting some serious carries, because like I said, against K-Pack we saw him just four carries. Toledo Christian obviously a little bit more, but that was up against a very, very good Toledo Christian team. But then also you look at Hunter Garza. He's a kid we've been talking about.
Yeah, the quarterback.
The quarterback, yep. And he's added another element to the offense this year. 7-13, 60 yards, two touchdowns. So, you know, 13 passes for Deckerville. That's a little more than you would normally expect in previous years. But if you know, he's the type of kid that they can count on for those throws. And you know, it's just another thing that Kingston will have to defend.
All right, guys, hang on right there. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Kingston Cardinals and Deckerville matchup. Come your way here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. We'll be right back.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental, Sales, and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The Fall Bowling Leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies' leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or to sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza in Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, BoldLibertyLanes.com. And welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We left off talking about Deckerville and Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Now we're going to talk about the big matchup that Deckerville has up against Kingston. Well, one of the top quarterbacks in the NCTL and rushing-wise is Owen Corliss, and this is who the Deckerville Eagles will take on. The Kingston Cardinals were undefeated in the driver's seat right now with the lead in the Stars division. Deckerville can get right back in it. Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian would like them to get right back in it and get some help here, Scotty. Let's talk about Kingston Cardinals going up against the Decker Eagles. By the way, it was Auburn Hills Oakland Christian that stopped Deckerville defensively from scoring again and try to tie it up and take it in overtime. But hey, Kingston, they are flying right now, but now they have a tough game against Deckerville. They did get their win against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, but this is going to be a fired up Deckerville team on their home field taking on Kingston.
Absolutely, as they should be. Obviously, coming off a loss is not, you know, the best feeling, but it's going to fire them up even more. And you know, Kingston has to be on their heels, ready to go, because this is a Kingston squad. Also, remember, they did not play last week. They got a forfeit win against International Academy. Did everything in their power to try to find a game, but could not make it up. So they're going to be coming in without a game under their belt from the week before. You know, it's a blessing and a curse, because they can heal up people, they can get ready, plenty of practice, they can focus more on Deckerville going into the game. I think if there is any other week, you know, you want to be extra ready, it's going into the Deckerville week. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Kingston has for them, and how Kingston's going to come out right away. Now, remember, in the Oakland Hills Christian game, Oakland Hills Christian came right out and scored on the opening kickoff, and I was kind of worried about Kingston a little bit there, but they were able to bounce back. They're a resilient squad. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they bounce back with. And, again, coming off a loss, it's going to be interesting to see what Deckerville comes back with. But if I know anything about that Deckerville squad and Coach Brown, you know, there's not long of feeling bad for yourself and feeling bad about the loss before you're right back to the grindstone getting ready for the Kingston game.
So am I correct to say here, Deckerville has more offensive players than Kingston, because it's been all Owen Corliss here?
I want to say yes and no, because there are other players out there, but if you look at the stats, obviously Owen Corliss sticks out like a sore thumb. You know, you can't argue with the 638 yards rushing, 14 touchdowns, 235 yards passing, a couple more touchdowns through the air. So 5 touchdowns through the air, but you know, they do have other running backs, and I'll be interested to see how they get them involved. James Rail and James Wilson, and then they also have a young man by the name of Tanner James, and I'm sure they'd love to get involved a little bit more. He is just a freshman. He got a receiving touchdown last game. He's a fantastic athlete. Again, he's just like the other James family members that we've seen go through. They also have Turner Marquardt out there lining up to receive. And then, you know, the defense has been phenomenal for them this season. So that is going to be a huge part of this game as well. But obviously, Owen Corliss is going to be the star of the show as far as the offense goes. And, you know, he's definitely the heartbeat and the motor that keeps it going.
Scott, I know this is something we've talked about a bit, and you know, it's something that's on the mind of Kingston. They haven't beaten Deckerville since 1987.
Wow.
Is that correct?
Yep.
So it's kind of one of those things, and we talk about this with teams like the Sandusky girls basketball team, the Kingston girls basketball team, some of these like elite programs where, you know, it's kind of a mental block where you're a little bit beat before you get onto the field. But when you look at Kingston, the past couple matchups, so last year, Scott, we were both at this game, 24-20, you know, Kingston has an opportunity to win it. 2020, that was Kingston's down year. But 2019, 42-34, that was a one-score game. 2017, 20-14, another one-score game. So I think Kingston has kind of gotten over that, and, you know, this might be their best opportunity to, you know, get over that hump finally, because they're not going to be intimidated when they come onto the field, and, you know, they've proven that they can hang with Deckerville. They just need to finish the job.
You know, it's almost 35 years, it's funny because it was around the same time I was born, almost 35 years to the day. September 25th, 1987, Deckerville, Kingston beat Deckerville 9-3. That was the only time they've ever beat Deckerville. And I know they don't want us to remind them, but ever since then, you know, they have went winless against them. They're 1-24 overall, and I think Chris Wilcox could be a huge help on answering this, but you know, he is a Kingston grad, but it is definitely a mental thing going into that game now. Now, you look at Mayville a couple years ago, they were able to go in and beat Deckerville. And, you know, I think, you know, maybe the outside noise, the hype of this game really gets to some people. But I think, as Mike said, you know, the past couple of years, you know, I remember that 2017 season because I was calling the game and I was like, you know, I'm like, wow, we could see it here tonight. And I think that was the season where they faked a punt, or they punted it and Deckerville scored.
Okay.
I think there's something of that nature. I think they went for it on fourth down and turned the ball. I can't remember exactly how it went. Chris would remember, but and Deckerville ended up scoring just before half, and I think they went up 20-14. I think that was the final, but it was a close game, and I thought for sure we were going to see it that year. I thought for sure we were going to see it last year, Mike. I got a good feeling it's going to be this year, but you know, it's just one of those things. You got to go in there and get over that mental thing, and you got to get, you know, they have the playmakers to do it, and you know, they had the talent. It's just, I think it's going to be just a mental hurdle at this point. We'll see what they can do, and you know, I'm sure Coach Jones will have them ready one way or another.
That's probably the biggest game in high school 8-player football for this week also, so you're going to have coverage in that game, aren't you?
I'm going to try to find a spot. that's the plan right now. But yeah, that's as the sports editor, the advertiser, and also being on the radio, I kind of have to, you know, play both hands. I got a dual deck here as I got to cover. It's easily the biggest game. And if Kingston does pull it off, I mean, that's a monster story. It hasn't been done in years. So, I'll be over there along with Chris, and I already told the Kingston coaches if we have to, we're going to be sitting in the booth with them. So,
all right, and I did pick against my Eagles against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. It'd be great to earn my $50 back from Chris Wilcox if I pick my Eagles this week. So we'll see.
Yeah, right. But they're not going to let you back in the booth now since you picked against them.
I call it how it is. Sorry. By the way, Deckerville lost due to turnover on downs. The Auburn Hills Oakland Christian defense held up against Deckerville. Otherwise, okay. I think Deckerville drives down the field and they get that, you know, first down, and they score. So tie it up, maybe take it, it'll be a different story here. All right, big game, Kingston-Deckerville High School 8-player football. When we come back, more high school 8-player football. That was a great segment there, a long one, here on Sportsline Radio, High School Football Sports Show. We'll be right back.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular!
Run with us on a John Deere Z365R Z-Track mower. Built for taking it easy. That's right. We're talking lemonade on a lazy afternoon easy. Or a staycation with your garden gnome easy. Because we're all about keeping it simple. That's why we added the Easy Change 30-second oil change system. To make the job nice and simple. And with the convenience of standard mulch control, you'll control your clippings without any extra effort. So you can get back to the good stuff. Because lawns aren't just for mowing. They're for living. Nothing runs like a deer. Get a new Z300 Series zero-turn mower with 0% APR for 24 months at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 1-800-226-8903.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Rochester Hills.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. We'll still talk about 8-player football and in the NCTL Stripes Division. We're going to talk about the North Huron Warriors. They are 3-2 overall, 3 straight wins, including the one over Ashley. They started off the season with a loss to KPEC 8-20, lost to All Saints 16-28. Then they beat Caseville 56-18, Carsonville 28, and they get the win over Ashley 38-22. I did pick them, but I was a little surprised that North Huron Warriors actually put up that many points against Ashley there, Paul.
Yeah, I was at this game for a hot second. I had a lot going on last week. This was on a Thursday afternoon. But first quarter was all I needed to see. North Huron absolutely dominated on both sides of the ball. And the only thing that prevented North Huron from scoring more were penalties and turnovers. But And then, really, the 38-22 score, Coach Knobloch told me that he put in a lot of his reserves, JV kids, younger guys, and that's where some of the scoring was done. Other than that, Ashley just couldn't move the ball. And looking at Ashley's roster, my goodness, there's a lot of freshmen on that roster, a couple of seniors, and just not much experience on that team. But as far as North Huron goes, kind of the usual suspects that you know that we've come to see this year. Jordan Coleman with his best game of the season. He had 206 yards and a rushing touchdown. Mason Hatch had 101 yards rushing. He had a touchdown, passed for another touchdown. John Henton had almost 50 yards rushing and a touchdown. Landon Murgis passed for a touchdown. Cole Kozowski caught a touchdown. So it was just an all-around good effort by the guys that are really starting to find their roles. Coleman also led the defense. He had 11 tackles and an interception. So, you know, what I grab away from this game is this is a team that really kind of had to rebuild everything from our all-time team of the year. Seven out of the eight guys on offense are playing different positions this year than they are accustomed to. And now they're five games in and really getting used to those new positions. And it's showing. Every week I've been seeing a little bit more progress, seeing that North Huron team get a little bit better and find their rhythm. So, you know, this is the right time for them to go into Peck and see if they can defend their NCTL Stripes championship. They're never going to have a better opportunity and not be playing any better ball than what they're playing right now as they go into that game.
Peck not playing too bad ball themselves. They got that big win over All Saints 46-18. And that was a game that North Huron lost back in week two, 16-28. Now, there might be a different shade to that All Saints lineup, but
I tell you what, Eddie, you can't really take these eight-player games, these scores, you know, on the surface and say, well, North Huron lost to this team by this much and Peck beat this. The rosters change so much from week to week in eight-player football that one player can make the difference. We saw that with New Haven Merritt and Carsonville Fort Sanilac, which I considered somewhat of an upset. But unbeknownst to me, New Haven Merritt got its quarterback back, and that made the world of difference. So, I think these teams are playing each other at the right time, even though because we don't know. Maybe All Saints lost their quarterback. You know, we don't have anybody over there. So, but it was a good win for Peck, no doubt. I think, a score that opened a lot of eyes and probably has North Huron's full attention, too.
Yeah, North Huron would love to try to get this win, slip back into the race for the NCTL Stripes division after losing to the All Saints. They can't lose the Peck to afford that, and then they'll need help after that also from New Haven Merritts, who, looking at the schedule after this game against Peck, doesn't get easy. You never know what the Vikings are going to come out of left field against you. New Haven Merritt, it seems like a pretty good team, and they'll also have Burton Atherton, but that's a non-league game. So these next three games for the North Huron Warriors, going to be up against Peck this week. Huge game. Akron Fairgrove and New Haven Merritt. Destiny is in the Warriors' hands. They just got to take care of business, and they need to beat Peck in order to get at least into the discussion for at least a share of that league title if they can beat New Haven Merritt also.
Absolutely, Eddie. And not only does a win over Peck get you back into discussion for the NCTL Stripes, but it might just get you back in the discussion to make the playoffs. That playoff field in the eight-player Division II is very, very difficult to make. Right now, Peck is the only area team that's qualified. So a win for North Huron, they might be able to take Peck's spot in that playoff spot as well. So a lot on the line here for the Warriors. They have gone 9-1 in their last 10 games against Peck. So they really have Peck's number over the last decade or so. So it'll be interesting if they can keep that going as well.
Well, like I said, the gauntlet comes and they just got to take care of business this week. Now, the Casewell have New Haven Merritt themselves. Tip of the hat to Casewell. They continue to put a team out there to play, but, you know, New Haven Merritt's going to be a little bit too tough for them.
Yeah, I really believe that this was going to be the year that Casewell got a win and for the first time since 2018, but we're running out of games in the regular season and running out of opponents for Casewell that realistically beat. So I don't know if that's going to come to fruition for me or not, but, I think seeing the scores, you're seeing a steady improvement for Caseville, but that first win is just elusive for them right now.
And the Akron Fairgrove Vikings will be up against Ashley themselves also after getting the win over Caseville last week, 58-20. What can you tell me about these Vikings?
Well, I can't tell you anything about the Vikings because I don't cover them, but I can tell you just from the outside, you know, that this is an improved team, and having seen Ashley, seen what Akron Fairgrove has been doing, I had to pick this game, it would be a no-brainer pick. I'm picking the Vikings. Sound the horn.
Okay. And then the Bay City All Saints will take on Carsonville Port Sanilac Tigers. We had a lot of, you know, great talk about Carsonville Port Sanilac. They're able to score some touchdowns from time to time, but the last couple games here, it's just been coming up short. You know, they lost big during homecoming, 58-14, and lost to North Huron a couple weeks ago back in September 16th, also 20-8. So looking on paper, with Carsonville up against this week, the All Saints, it's not looking too great.
No, I really thought this was going to be a building block season, you know, where CPS turned a corner. I really thought that. I thought this was going to be the season they turned a corner, really got things going. It just doesn't look like it's going to happen. I think they got a good coach in place, but it's just, you know, again, it's kind of like Caseville. You want good things to happen to CPS, and you think they're just about on the verge, and just something needs to click for them. Probably not going to happen this week, but I think the Tigers are close, though.
Well, you know, they do have that matchup against Caseville, so that's going to be an interesting game coming up on October 7th in week that would be week 7. So, yeah, never know. All right, Paul Adams of the Huron County View, mostly the talk of North Huron, but some of those other teams we touched on to try to get him in here. It's going to be a race to the finish, I do believe, because Peck still has to play New Haven Merits for the NCAA Stripes Division title, but they got to get past a very capable North Huron Warrior team. Hey, Paul Adams.
Yeah, this is the best rivalry in the NCAA Stripes, in my opinion. North Huron and Peck really are two even teams. Usually bring the best out of each other, so this is going to be a really good game to watch.
All right, that's Paul Adams with the Huron County View, and check out the paper online or on newsstands also. You can see it online here on County View every Thursday. And the pigskin picks, right?
Yeah, don't forget to get those pigskin picks in. We're plugging away. I think we've got almost 80 people participating, including you, Eddie.
So. Yeah. I didn't do so great this week, though, so.
Don't like the Lions.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Paul.
All right, thanks, Eddie.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio, high school football sports show. Sure to go in overtime on this Tuesday edition. We're talking about high school A-player football. We talked about Deckerel, Kingston. Deckerel was lost to Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian. Let's get into the other teams here. Let's talk about Goldie Hawn's Mayville Wildcats getting the win over the K-Pac Chiefs, 42-6. Huge surprising score here. Shame on us for looking down on Mayville. Mayville says, enough of that. 12-0 was the score at the end of the first quarter. K-Pac got 6 in the second, but 8 more by Mayville, making it 20-6 at the half. Then 22 more points. No one scored after that. 22 points by Mayville. They win 42-6. Mayville's Hunter Labine, that's a familiar name, 8 of 16 yep. Passing, 114 yards and a touchdown. Hunter Labine, kind of like a pattern after what Kingston does with their quarterback. Hunter Labine with 16 carries, 126 yards, 4 touchdowns. For the Mayville Wildcats. And minus 67 yards for K-Pac rushing-wise, 23 passing yards. So they had negative yards here, Scotty, against Mayville.
I didn't know Mayville's defense was that good this year. I just don't know. I mean, we kind of were talking about it off the air a little bit about K-Pac and what happened to them because they started off on fire. I mean, they were threatening Deckerville early on in the season. And I was getting updates on this game and I got a 20-6 update at halftime. And I'm like, K-Pac. And they said, no, Mayville. And I'm like, what? And then they text me after the third and said, Mayville outscored them 22-0. And I'm like, you're kidding me. That's awesome. But what's going on? But yeah, the Wildcats, Hunter Labine, big game for him. You know, he's an athletic kid, and I got to give a shout out to Mason Halsney as well. They had a punt block. He recovered it and got it into the end zone, as he was able to score that way. And then, you know, it was just the way you want a homecoming game to go. You go up against a team that maybe some people thought you wouldn't have a chance against, and then you're able to pull it off, and not only pull it off, but to absolutely wreck them on the offensive yards and leave them in negative yardage. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on with KPAC. Maybe they lost some people. Maybe they have hurt people. I don't know. But, you know, give it to up for Mayville as the Wildcats get a big homecoming win.
Yeah, it does not get easier for the KPAC Chiefs coming up. They're going to have a game against Farwell, and then they'll have Kingston, I believe.
Yeah.
And then
yep.
they'll have Genesee, and then end the season with Brown City. So, oh, boy. That's a tough a little bit of a gauntlet there for KPAC, who are 2-3 and had high hopes after their win against North Huron. Lost to Deckerville, but that was 28 points they put up to Deckerville's 40. And they were right there within a touchdown or leading it a couple points. And then they got the win over Atherton in week 3, but then losses to Oakland Christian. And now Mayville, huge loss there, where they scored less points than they did against Oakland Christian. So kind of behind the eight ball right now for KPAC Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a team that's not behind the eight ball is Mayville, who's, you know, they got Genesee coming up in Ashley. If I'm a betting man, I'm picking Mayville as the favorites in those games. But I'm looking at the playoff points, and from what I'm hearing, they have to win against Deckerville or Kingston to almost guarantee that they're in the playoffs. So some work to do for the Wildcats still, and a lot of work to do, it sounds like, for the Chiefs.
All right, so now we move on. By the way, Mayville this week, they will be taking on this week up against Genesee. So
that's a Thursday game, too, at Genesee.
And there should be a win there. And then they'll have Deckerville Kingston, so a little bit of a gauntlet after that. For Mayville, who knows what they can do here. We'll see. They're 4-1 right now. 4-1. So we'll see.
I know. Give it up to the Wildcats.
4-1 also are the Brown City Green Devils, and they went up against Martin. Martin, a really good team, obviously, and they showed it on the field. It was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. 14 more points scored in the second quarter for Martin. They were leading. The Clippers were leading 28-0 at the half. 14 more points. Brown City got 6 points, and that was the only 6 points they got. And the score in the third quarter was 6. And then 7 points for Martin after that. No points in the fourth quarter for Brown City. Tough loss here for the Brown City Green Devils. Going to be a learning experience. I hope they learn from this. They beat Sutton's Bay. Great win there. Great win. But then you go up against Martin Clippers, and they're one of the top teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can really hope for, is that Brown City takes this loss as a learning experience. They were riding pretty high after that Sutton's Bay win. I still think that that was a great win against Sutton's Bay. Martin just, you know, they're number one for a reason. They do a lot of different things offensively. They're really hard to defend. And, you know, they got up on Brown City early. It was nice to see Brown City did a pretty good job of running the ball, which is what they've leaned on so far this season. So it was nice to see that Brown City was able to continue to do that against a team like Martin. But, you know, not a whole lot to take away from this game. I'm not counting Brown City out of anything because of this loss. But you are going to have to get back to work. You're going to have to refocus. You got some tough games coming up. You're on the road again this week at Britton Deerfield, which is another great eight-player program.
3-2 right now.
Yep, and, you know, it's just get back to work this week and try and get things back on track.
By the way, Martin lost in the semifinals in Division I to Lenawee Christian. Beat Martin in the last couple years in the semifinals.
Yeah.
Division I. So maybe they'll get over that hump this year, so good luck to them. They're 5-0 now, 11-1 last year. Brown City still has time here. They still have room. 4-1. You take care of, like I said, business against Britton Deerfield. They do have Misek, who is 4-1 also. So this is a tough, you know, independent schedule here for Brown City.
Yeah, and we knew that coming into the season, that this was going to be the tough stretch for Brown City. They kicked it off the right way by beating Sutton's Bay. You get back even with the loss here. to Martin, but now you just got to keep plugging away. It's going to be nice having the opportunity to play K-Pac Week 9, potentially Oakland Christian Week 8. That one's still not 100% confirmed, but it's pretty much on the schedule. So, you know, you get through this stretch, and then you get to play Oakland Christian and K-Pac teams. Maybe not so much Oakland Christian, but K-Pac you should have a definite advantage in. I kind of feel like Oakland Christian might be a little bit of a toss-up, but this is gonna tell us a lot about Brown City, how they respond to a loss like this.
All right, and total yardage for the Martin Clippers, they had 187 yards passing, 233 yards rushing. Brown City, the highlight was they still had pretty good rushing yards, 181 rushing yards, just 9 yards passing in this game, but they had 3 turnovers.
Yeah, that was key, and I believe one of them was one of the turnovers was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So you know you're going to have to clean that up against the top teams in the state like that. You can't have turnovers. They played a pretty perfect game against Sutton's Bay as far as turnovers go. They forced a few turnovers, so they won the turnover battle against Sutton's Bay, and they lose it against Martin. You're going to want to try and even that back out because you can't afford to have any mistakes in these types of games.
Scotty, you want to make any comment about the Brown City Green Devils?
No, I do not.
You did see him against Sutton's Bay. You were impressed.
I did. I was gonna go back to that game just a little bit. And I was definitely impressed. And Martin's obviously on a different level right now. But not saying that a team like Brown City couldn't get to that level this season. I mean, obviously they're gonna learn from what they saw against a Martin squad like that. They're gonna go back and retool, get ready, and they do have a Britton Deerfield squad that. Was tough last year. You said they're 3-2 this year, right?
Yes, Britton Deerfield is. Okay. And Mesick is 4-1 right now. So
okay, so maybe a couple games that they can go into and figure out some stuff, and maybe pick up a couple wins and get ready for an Oakland Christian squad in Week 8. But this is maybe that learning stretch for Brown City about the 8-player game and figuring out against some of these teams that have figured out the game, it'll be interesting to see what happens after all is said and done for Brown City.
Okay, and Burton Atherton won over Genesee 62-14 in their game also in this Stars division. All right, Scott Mosby with us from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Pick up his publication tomorrow, Wednesday, as well as Mike Gallagher's publication of the St. Lake County News tomorrow also. Both papers are available with subscription also. When we come back, we're going to go through the list of games. Also, we did talk to Paul Adams about the Stripes division also. When we go through our list of the games, we'll get a little bit of commentary from you guys also as we go through the list about some of these other 8-player teams. When we come back here on the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Welcome back to the Sportsline Radio High School Football Sports Show. I want to thank all my guests, Jonathan Bishop from Thumbtail Gator Sports, Paul Adams of the Huron County View, Mike Gallagher, my co-host right now from the Sanilac County News, and Scott Mosby still with us from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Big game for you. I know a lot of media coverage out there. It's going to be Kingston and Deckerville game that you'll be covering. I'll be covering Croswell-Lexington at Elmont at Croswell-Lexington for homecoming night also. Where will you be?
I'm going to flip a coin, I think.
Okay.
Well, so in the Stars, we got Deckerville-Kingston, which is a huge game.
Yep.
And then you look at the Stripes, we got Peck North Huron for, first place.
Yeah.
Now, after Peck plays North Huron, they have New Haven Merritt on
homecoming.
Saturday for homecoming. So I'm thinking maybe I'll just catch up with Peck that Saturday. Yeah. But it's hard to pass up Peck North here. On the, they've had a lot of good games lately. And, you know, it's going to be probably Peck's biggest test in the stripes so far this season.
All right. And also Thumbtuggeter Sports covering the ugly Cass City game. This week on Channel 1 also. So a lot of very really good games, and it's really going to pick up here come Week 8, Week 7, and Week 9 also. All right, let's go through our Week 6 list of games. It's the Elmont Raiders at the Carrouser Lexington Pioneers homecoming night, 6:30 p.m. live, radio broadcast, 92.5 FM, and streaming. Very important game for both teams, more so for Elmont, but for Carrouser Lexington, they want to remain undefeated and keep getting those first-place votes.
Yeah, they're getting them from somewhere. I don't know.
And then the Wyoming Wolves at the Armada Tigers got to keep winning. And then next week in Week 7, they'll have North Branch Broncos. Richmond at North Branch this week. You have Yale at Emily City also coming off that close loss to the Carrouser Lexington Pioneers. Greater Thumb Conference East and West. We got Ubley at Cass City. Harbor Beach at Sandusky. Marlette at Memphis. Vassar at Bad Axe. Lakers at Reese. Carroll at USA. Maybe. Have you heard anything there, Scotty?
I have not. As far as I know, they're playing.
All right, Thursday, you confirmed it. Mayville Wildcats, Goldie Hahn, Woody Harrelson, and Wesley Snipes all showing up for this game at Genesee on a Thursday evening also. Friday night, Kingston at Deckerville. We talked about that in our last segment. And we have the Bay City All-Saints at Carsonville, Port Sanlac, Caseville at New Haven Merritt, Burton Atherton, Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian, oh boy, K-Peck at Farwell, and we have North Huron Warriors at the Peck Pirates. Let's talk about the Peck Pirates a little bit. I talked to Paul more about North Huron. Let's talk about the Peck Pirates. They got the win over All Saints. Very important win for them. And now they're coming up against North Huron. You can't look past this team. You know, this team's starting to feel it, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, just quickly a shameless plug for the Santa Ana County News. I actually talked with Coach McDaniel this weekend to catch up with how his Pirates were doing. There will be a story about that in tomorrow's Santa Ana County News. But basically, the story kind of revolves around the Peck running game. I mean, their offensive line, they're all returners. Last year, they were a very young group, but you got Joey Burns at center, and then Jake and Joel Molesworth at the tackle positions, and they've just shown so much improvement through one season. And, you know, Caleb Lettner, he's been the key beneficiary from that. He had a great season last year with Nathan Robar in the backfield as well. Unfortunately, suffered an injury against the CPS. And, you know, Peck was a different team after he went out. But this year they've been leaning on him. Let me just run his line by you real quick.
Okay.
Through five games, he has 1,384 rushing yards and 19 touchdowns.
God.
The school record for Peck is held by Cody Abrego. Y'all remember Cody Abrego?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the 2013 season when Peck went 13-0, won the state title, 13 games, he finished with 2,202 yards. Caleb Lettner is currently on pace for nine games. He is on pace for 2,491 yards.
Retire his jersey right now!
Now, you have to keep in mind, Peck has got, they've gone through the softer part of the stripe schedule, I would say, with your Ashley, your Caseville, your Akron Fairgrove, your Bay City All Saints. But he also did it against Brown City. He had 200 yards and two touchdowns against Brown City.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, I don't think he, you know, it's going to be hard to keep up this pace. He's averaging almost 300 yards a game and almost four touchdowns. But really, you know, a credit goes to that offensive line and the improvements that they've made. Defensively, Steven Van Conant, another senior, he's been fantastic at the defensive end position. According to Coach McDaniel, he has 22 tackles for loss already, and that's in five games. So Peck, they're going to lean on these two guys. These two guys have been with the program, you know, for 4 years. And, you know, I think those two have the ability to lead Peck to a title, along with the offensive line. Their defense is young, but they've been improving since the Brown City game. But like we've talked about, Peck North Huron, North Huron's kind of had their number the past couple years. Now North Huron's a little bit of a different team this year in terms of, you know, offensive talent, you know, not having Will Case. That's, you know, you're going to be a little bit of a different team without Will Case. But they're always they're always physical, and Peck's going to have to be able to match up with that.
They'll have North Huron this week, New Haven Merritt homecoming Saturday, Carsonville, Port Sanilac, big rivalry there, and a huge rivalry against Dackerville. Do they have enough firepower? We'll wait and talk about that in another Sports Line show.
Yeah. We don't want to go too far into the Jesse Kelly show.
All right, so into week six also, that's a big game, and we'll have the Akron Fairgrove Vikings at Ashley, and then an independent Brown City of Britain Deerfield. We talk about that, but let's talk about the Akron Fairgrove Vikings. They get the win, and they sound the horn against the Caseville Eagles, a very tough team for Akron Fairgrove Vikings to get the win there. Scotty, you had some numbers on that game against Akron Fairgrove last week, and now they'll take on Ashley this week.
Yeah, real quick, Gatlin Guild, two receptions, 73 yards, two touchdowns. Jeff Deal, one reception, 27-yard touchdown. Colton Karpovich, the quarterback, had one rushing touchdown. And then Griffin Johnson and Wyatt Erdotti both had a rushing touchdown each, as the Vikings, as Eddie said, sound the horn and pick up their second win of the season. So party in the AF.
Do you think they'll get their third win?
I think so. They got Ashley coming up this week. They end out the season. They have Flint International. I don't know what they're going to do with that week nine. If they're just going to, I mean, is your season going to end week eight? I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. So I'm interested to see what they do with that week nine. But, you know, they have North Huron coming up, All Saints. So, you know, we'll see how they can close out the season. They have some talent over there. But it all depends on how they can do against Ashley. Ashley's been an interesting team for some opponents this season. So we'll see how Akron Fairgrove stacks up against them. I think they'll get the third win, though.
So what I had heard for that week nine game with Flint International, and, you know, don't quote me on this, but this is what I had heard. Akron uh-huh. Fairgrove was supposed to play Flint International. KPAC was supposed to play Caseville. So Akron Fairgrove, they give up the game with International, and they pick up uh-huh. the game with Caseville. So then Brown City gets KPAC.
Yeah.
So potentially another Akron Fairgrove Caseville game week nine. Again, I don't know that that's confirmed. But if it is, you know, you got Ashley this week. North Huron's going to be pretty tough for Akron Fairgrove, but I wouldn't count them out. Right. All Saints, I kind of lean towards giving Akron Fairgrove the advantage, and then you get to wrap it up with Caseville again. Potentially a nice way to wrap up the seasons for the Vikings.
I feel like we're stuck in that time warp a couple years ago when it would be Akron Fairgrove and Owen Gage playing each other like every other week.
Yeah. Yeah, those were good times.
Boy, we do miss that Owen Gage team, don't we?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I missed the Bulldog. They had some pretty cool helmets. I love the they had like a metallic bulldog on it. So it's a bummer, but maybe they'll get a surge of people over in Owen Gage if we can get that team back.
All right, that wraps up our Sports Line High School Football Sports Show. Scott Bowlesby has the coverage of Kingston up against Dackerville on 92.1 FM WIDL. Other coverage on WOW Sports, 102.1 out there also. But Scott will have a great full page write up on this and the Tuscola County Advertiser also, win or lose. Mike Gallagher still trying to decide where he's going to be.
Trying to decide where I'll be on Friday, but I do know where I'll be on Saturday, and I'm expecting to see both of you guys there, and probably Paul Adams as well. The Wagner Park Invitational this weekend up in Harbor Beach. If you've never been, I would highly recommend attending.
This is my week in the work, though.
It's one of the best cross-country courses in the Thumb. Yeah. It's one of my personal favorites. There's going to be a lot of great competition there. Yeah. Carroll mm-hmm. girls and Cross Lex girls are going to be facing off again. I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't seen Cross Lex in a couple weeks, but they have a sophomore runner, Eva Thompson. Last week, she had the third best time in Croslex cross country history. She's right behind Leo O'Connor now. So I'm looking forward to seeing her run again, along with Sandusky girls. But, you know, everybody's up there. So if you're a fan of cross country, head on up to Harbor Beach this weekend.
Very cool.
I'll be there.
Are you going to be there too, Scotty?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great. I'm definitely going to be there.
It's my week in the work. Maybe if I can find a substitute, I'll make it up there.
Just do your job from the beach. Just come on up.
I can't do Swap Shop from there. Yeah, unless I cancel Swap Shop for Saturday. So
yeah, come on.
All right. Thank you, guys and gentlemen, for joining us, and all our special guests. Also, tune in to all their games and coverage. Pick up their publications, Tuscola County Advertiser, the Huron County View, and the San Lake County News. All our Thumb Sports Writers Media Association publications out there also. Huron County, the Huron Daily Tribune's out there. We got the Minden City Herald. Nathan Mark's doing a good job of coverage out there also with his coverage. We got Varsity Monthly. Jason Parmentier out there doing some great pictures and also getting reports of games for us also to help us with the coverage out there. So big shout out to him.
Yep.
All the other media coverage. Am I forgetting anybody?
Probably. There's a lot of us. Okay. These days, you know.
There we go. All right. Thank you, Scotty. Mike, tuning in for
thank
the Sports Line High School Football Sports Show. I got to go bowl. I got Tuesday Night Bowling League here. So I got to head out there. Thank you for tuning in, folks, here on WMIC AM 660. My game of the night on 92.5. It has Elmont Raiders at the Crosley Lexington Pioneers this Friday, 6:30 p.m. on 92.5 FM and streaming at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.